This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. Harvey Weinstein was convicted of 2 out of 5 charges brought against him in the New York Supreme Court on Monday. The Guardian reports the jury of 7 men and 5 women at the New York Supreme Court took 5 days to reach their verdict. They found the defendant guilty of a criminal sex act in the first degree. The count carries a minimum prison sentence of 5 years and a maximum of up to 25 years. The jury also convicted Weinstein of rape in the third degree. This count carries a maximum sentence of 4 years in prison and no minimum, though it does require Weinstein to register as a sex offender. Weinstein was acquitted of 3 further charges, including the 2 most serious counts of predatory sexual assault, which carried a possible life sentence, and an alternative count of rape in the first degree. The New York Penal Code Section 130.25 defines a person guilty of rape in the third degree as he or she engages in sexual intercourse with another person who is incapable of consent by reason of some factor other than being less than 17 years old. Secondly, being 21 years old or more, he or she engages in sexual intercourse with another person less than 17 years old. Or 3, he or she engages in sexual intercourse with another person without such person's consent, where such lack of consent is by reason of some factor other than incapacity to consent. There, throughout, you hear that holy word, consent. Compare this to biblical law. This is from Deuteronomy 22, verse 23. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. But if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, this is now in the countryside, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death, for just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. It's talking about coercion, rape. For he found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. Notice that the assumption is that she cried out, and so she's innocent in that case. The most obvious problem in all this is that Weinstein was running an informal brothel. Weinstein was a pimp. Weinstein was a total creeper, but he was using women just as much as the women were using him. This is one of the great doctrines of the modern era. The Me Too and Always Believe Women doctrines are built on the great and holy doctrine of female sinlessness. That is, that women can do no wrong, or if they do anything wrong, it's always because someone else made them or forced them or did something to them. Women may manipulate and coerce and use, and men would do well to stay far away from them. As Proverbs says, there are many dead bodies in her basement. The Guardian again, gushing this time, quote, the movie mogul's epic fall from grace is now complete, toppled from the pinnacle of independent cinema, where he helmed films such as Pulp Fiction and Shakespeare in Love, amassing a total of 81 Oscars. The glorious Manhattan and Los Angeles lifestyle he once enjoyed will soon be replaced by a New York State prison cell. Dun, 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 dun. What's hilarious is that The Guardian cites Pulp Fiction and Shakespeare in Love as Weinstein's epic grace, his moment of grace, his pinnacle of grace. Pulp Fiction? Shakespeare in Love? The moral of the story is that Weinstein just didn't pay them enough. And when power is what you want, you can't really put a price tag on that. The Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus R. Vance Jr. attended the trial almost daily. He has faced repeated accusations throughout his decade in office for backing down from sex crimes when influential men are accused. Vance was quoted as saying, rape is rape, whether a survivor reports within an hour, within a year, or perhaps never. It's rape despite the complicated dynamics of power and consent after an assault. It's rape even if there is no physical evidence, and even if it happened a long time ago. This is the new landscape for survivors of sexual assault. Those are 2 words that should never be heard in the context of justice. New landscape. In another article, the writer described the shifting sands. Again, two words you don't want associated with courts of law and justice, shifting sands and new landscape. This is what justice is. Justice doesn't shift. Justice doesn't change, but that's only possible if you have a standard that doesn't change, if you have a transcendent word that doesn't change. But now Vance is learning that justice evolves, just like all of us evolved. Truth evolves. Rape is rape, basically, whenever a woman says it is, whenever a holy, innocent woman says it is. But this is not justice. But this is why the Bible is clear that men should stay far away from such women. Do not go near her house. And of course, the same should go without saying about women trying to get jobs from creepers. Stay far away. Utah Senate has unanimously decriminalized polygamy, or at least voted to do so. The bill is now going to the Utah House of Representatives today. Some 30,000 people are believed to be living in polygamous communities in Utah already, according to the Associated Press. The state's Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints practiced polygamy in its early days, but abandoned and disavowed the practice in 1890. One of the striking things about this move in Utah is the fact that it directly violates one of the conditions of Utah's statehood. In fact, it abandoned and disavowed the practice of polygamy right before applying for statehood. And so, as one of the requirements for them to enter the union, Utah had to write a ban against polygamy into its constitution. So, will Attorney General William Barr prosecute Utah for violating the ban on polygamy written into their own constitution? One of the conditions for Utah's statehood? Well, in this current climate, that doesn't seem likely to me at all. But once again, we see liberals and sexual deviants with more courage than conservatives. We can barely get a 20-week ban on abortions or Pain Capable Act or Born Alive protections because everyone is afraid of Roe versus Wade. But this is because the liberals love death more than conservatives love life. Well, the fact is that liberals would throw an absolute temper tantrum if some state completely banned abortion. And this is the thing. This is actually what conservatives are afraid of. What conservatives are afraid of is not the Supreme Court. Actually, standing behind the Supreme Court is a mob of outrage. It is absolute, utter outrage that conservatives are afraid of. And sometimes the outrage shows up in a court with a suit and tie or a black robe on. And because conservatives have much better manners, polygamy and sanctuary states and marijuana can be flaunted against the federal government, and conservatives just keep getting married, having babies, and working hard. Now, on the one hand, this really is a winning battle plan. They aren't having babies. The ones they conceive, they kill, and all their rebellions are literally impotent and fruitless. No one ever built a civilization smoking pot. But at the same time, we do need all the Christian men, and I mean Christian men, to cheerfully and forcefully stand up and say, no more of this. And then when the liberals shriek and scream and throw their temper tantrums and lay down in the grocery aisle, kicking and screaming, the Christian men need to stand there and smile and not give a damn. I know there was a recent rally in Oklahoma pressing the legislature there to end abortion in the state. And there are similar measures coming in many of the states, and I really do think this is the way forward, thanks to all the lefty states flexing their states' rights muscles. Come on, conservatives. You can do it. I really don't care for a lot of the abolitionist rhetoric. If you follow Cross Politic very much at all, you know we've been friendly critics. It's often screechy and fussy and perfectionistic. I also don't think people are aware of the massive problems with the first abolitionists in America. John Brown was no hero, and Harriet Beecher Stowe was a bleeding heart sentimentalist heretic. Every time an abortion abolitionist draws the line back to those terrorists, I wince. But I know there are many in that camp that simply love Jesus and want to see the bloodshed end, and I'm right there with them on that. Finally, last week, I reported on the concentration camps in northwest China, where many of the Uyghur are being detained. A friend reached out who spent 7 years ministering in that region just to note that the large-scale incarceration seems to be more ethnic than actually religious. Even though many of them are Muslims, this source pointed out that some being detained are actually Christians. It is believed that up to 2 million people have been detained over the last few years in the region of Xinjiang, with reports of inmates being flayed alive, beaten, and raped. The NBA has still not responded to requests for comment. There's a couple of links here in the notes if you want to read more on the Uyghur situation in China. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all the others. You know where that is. It's at philaffeast.com or crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. And you know what you want to do today? You want to support Rowdy Christian Media. I know it's just been on your mind. You've been thinking, how can I do that? Well, this is how you can do it. You can do it by joining our club, become a monthly supporter, go to fightlaughfeast.com, get access to master classes, behind-the-scenes interviews, and you can even watch us film our shows live if you want. You can chat with us while we do it. Also, you get $100 off at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Registration's open now, and if you're a member, you get that discount right off the top. I hope you have a great day.